This, Justin, you are looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
I just witnessed a plane that appeared to be cruising slightly lower than normal altitude over New York City, and it appears to have crashed into, I don't know which tower it is, but it hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers. The plane just was coming in low, and the wingtips tilted back and forth, and then it flattened out. It looks like it's hit at a slight angle into the World Trade Center. I can see flames now coming out the side of the building, and smoke continues to billow.
I'd say the whole takes about, looks like 6-7 floors were taken out. And there's more explosions right now. Hold on, people are running.
Wait, so hold on just a moment. We've got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you what's going on.
Okay, just put Winston on pause there for just a moment.
Okay, the whole building just exploded some more. The whole top part.
Okay.
The building's still intact. People are running up the streets.
You are looking at this picture. It is the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, both of them being damaged by impacts from planes. We saw one happen at about maybe 9 minutes before the top of the hour, and just moments ago, so maybe 18 minutes after the first impact, the second tower was impacted by what appeared to be another passenger plane.
That's absolutely inexplicable. There shouldn't be any aircraft in that area, much less something heading what looked like deliberately for the World Trade Center Tower.
We went to a high point in our building, which is on the 25th floor, and you had a clear view of the both World Trade Centers, and the one tower was smoking hard. And there was another plane that was flying low, and we just looked at it, and before you know it, just kamikaze, boom, right into the other tower, and mass explosion, windows flying. It was horrible.
We heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere, and people are jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry, buddy.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores beyond the shores, all over this wonderful earth we have as Eden. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today is going to be Professor James Fetzer, Scott Bennett, and we're going to actually do the investigation a little better than what Mr. Bush and his compadres did 20-some-odd years ago. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. There's no greater victory than cavalry, and no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're going back to a day that will live in infamy, the new Pearl Harbor of the Project for a New American Century. And we thank you, Jim, for joining our posse today to reveal to the American people, if they haven't already heard or known, the treachery that went on that day, the treachery that still goes on to this day, because we are still wrapped in an eternal war, probably one that's far more difficult, far more dangerous than the one we had before. We also have Scott Bennett, and I'm hoping he's already online as well. And we welcome you to share your insights as a specialist on these tragic circumstances. And we mourn for the lives that were lost. We mourn for the people suckered into a terrorism paradigm, the wars that were battled all over the world. We are all victims of that. So that's why we need a true and decent, proper inquiry, and we'll have it here with James Fetzer and Scott Bennett. Welcome to both of you.
Oh, George, it's a delight to be here with you today, and I'm just thrilled to have Scott here, too, who actually drove past the Pentagon the following day, and it was obvious to him no plane had hit the Pentagon, a crucial aspect of the entire scam, where I love those reports you've been playing about people seeing planes approach the building. George W. Bush is the only person I'm aware of who actually claimed to have seen the hit on this North Tower, which he was talking about, all saying on several public occasions. When he saw that first plane hit the North Tower, he thought, man, what a terrible pilot. And I've calculated, George, the only time he could have seen that, because the actual footage about the North Tower from the Daudet brothers, his front film crew, about which more later, didn't show up until the following day, was on a closed-circuit Secret Service television cable. And why in the world would the Secret Service have had a camera pointed to that facade of the North Tower unless they knew what was coming?
Oh, indeed, indeed. I think they knew. I think they planned. I think they orchestrated everything down to the finest detail, because this was their new Pearl Harbor. This opened the door for them to usurp power, to force the American people and the whole world to grovel in the dirt while they did their dirty work. And part of the dirty work was from the inside to destroy many things. When we look at the number of financial institutions, financial records, just pulverized and destroyed so that no investigation could ever come over these people. It just breaks my heart to know that, by and large, so many people are so uninformed and just listen to the lies that come on the news and follow.
You're 100% correct. It's the power of propaganda, the complete domination of the media, where I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, another panel from NBC, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, a third panel from the New York Times, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S. citizen, because 9/11, although most Americans are unaware, was an Israeli op to draw the U.S. into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that were serving as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran.
Indeed, indeed. We have lost so much over the years of some of the finer points, but one of the finer points that was well illustrated at the beginning and sort of swept under the rug, especially over time, was the seven dancing Israelis who were with a van and cheering the actual crash, and that were ultimately taken into custody and then released to go home on their own accord.
Three of them went on Israeli television to say they'd been there to document the destruction of the World Trade Center, including the Twin Towers. Just for the benefit of members of the audience who may not know, I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005, and I've benefited from collaborative research involving engineers, pilots, physicists, aeronautical, structural, mechanical. So I have had the great advantage of putting together highly relevant information exposing what really happened. One of the fascinating aspects about the clips you played, George, to open the show were those talking about seeing the plane approach, hit, and enter the South Tower. Now, it turns out that there are some 52 videos that have to do with Flight 175, some aspect of it, and where one of them is the Evan Fairbanks taken straight up, looking straight up the South Tower, and you can count the number of frames, and it turns out that the plane passes its entire length into the building in the same number of frames. It passes its entire length through air, which makes physical sense only if a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an airplane in flight than air. In other words, we're watching a fantasy violating the laws of physics and of aerodynamics, because it turns out Flight 175 was traveling faster than aerodynamically possible for a Boeing 767 at that altitude. They appear to have blundered by taking the cruising speed of the plane at 35,000 feet and assuming it could attain the same speed at only 700 to 1,000. For pilots for 9/11 Truth who've done some brilliant work here in their excellent documentary, 9/11 Intercepted, explain that a Boeing 767 at that speed, at that altitude, would have physically come apart in the air, George. So here we have another impossibility taking place with regard to the footage we have of 9/11, especially the South Tower, which many have found most convincing.
Oh, indeed. I'm glad you brought that point up. That was a very difficult time to argue a counterpoint, and I remember it very well on late night radio. And one of my favorite source materials, of course, was one that I couldn't be shot down with, and that was the Sunday New York Times. And I remember that article from the pilots very, very well about the fact that the plane can't fly that fast at that low an altitude. And I said my piece, and I was beaten thoroughly by, you know, people who are in some sort of cult dystopia to accept whatever's been handed to them and persecute any heretic that comes along. And they jump all over me, and I'd say, look, this is in the flagship paper of New York City, the New York Times. It's on the front page this last Sunday. It's irrefutable proof, and you can't deny it. But, of course, the truth can only be accepted for a millisecond or two, and then eyes glass over, and they go back to their previous programming, and it doesn't move the mountain the way we would like it to. And that's a terrible shame, but the words have to be said. The truth has to come out, and it will rise to the top, and it will be indisputable if we just use plain logic and reason and understanding.
And George, here we have Scott. Yes, George. Yes.
Let me add upon that point, because you and Jim have brought together a very good nexus of the physical scientific analysis, the structural issues, the buildings, the planes, and all of the laws of physics and the evidentiary matter and the physical material are all mathematically equationable items and issues and substances that when you lay out on paper, you very clearly see that the government narrative is physically impossible and all of that jazz. So the facts are essential, and the cognitive dissonance, and as a former PSYOP officer, I've studied this, I know this, I know the intimacies of the human personality and the vulnerabilities and all of the different things that make us behave and think in certain ways. And what you're describing, George, is very, very appropriate and necessary to understand the cognitive dissonance, the fear, the paranoia, the selfishness, the narcissism that animates people that refuse to look at the truth, that refuse to do the weighing of the physical evidence and the analysis, that refuse to look and see what is that light coming over the hill. Well, it's the sun. No, I don't want to look at the light. I'm going to turn the other way and don't make me look, and I'm going to hide under my bed. This is important for where we are in society today, because we have to divorce and separate ourselves from those mental, schizophrenic, lunatic, selfish fools that are really sowing the seeds of their own destruction, and we can't be a part of their community or have relationships with them, even if they're our own family. we can't have any connection with them because they are going over the cliff and dragging everyone with them in their ignorance, their willful ignorance. So the physical analysis of 9/11 is the only thing that matters, not beliefs, not our emotions, not, well, how could the media and the government and the military and the intelligence sectors all coordinate and do this together? Ha, ha, ha. That's a conspiracy. That's a laughter. We're not talking about that emotional belief system. We're talking about the evidence. We're talking about buildings. We're talking about the design of the World Trade Center Tower. We're talking about its capability of absorbing a Boeing plane into the side structure as the engineers intended. We're talking about Building 7 falling into its own footprint at free fall speed. The impossibility of that. We're talking about the lies of NIST. We're talking about the absence of the plane parts at the Pentagon. We're talking about internal explosions at the Pentagon. We're talking about all the physical evidence that is absolutely impregnable when you lay it out and get architects and engineers and military and scientists and everybody to go, okay, let's see what happened and what didn't happen. And that's the foundation for all interpretation and analysis of 9/11. And then you separate the sheep and the goats, those who are willing to look and think, and those who are cowards, weak, fools, idiots, and want to live as slaves. And that's where we're separating in society today. That's the value of having the internet, because people are waking up and they're seeing all of this. And, I just wanted to bring those, the physical evidence and the cognitive dissonance. This is the line that you have to choose which side you stand on. And I would advise everybody stand on the side of truth.
Indeed, the truth sets us free, and it definitely prevents us from being enslaved. And not that I've ever been the greatest investigator, but one of the most important things is the evidence is the compass. And it doesn't matter what you think, what you believe, what you'd prefer to believe. It just points where it points. And you have to follow that evidence. And maybe you have to swallow big if you believe in the fairy tales of states and leaders. But you must, because the evidence is the compass. And the compass is leading you to a freedom, a salvation from the trap that has been set for you. And not to understand history is even more. At that time, I was reading Mr. Stennett's book on Pearl Harbor, and it was like I was reading it almost about 9/11. The same kind of tricks are played, the same types of things are done, and he had declassified memos to support his thesis that are very, very succinct. He was jumped on from every direction that it cannot be. But there's, I call them like quantum events in American history and world history, because we're all in this together. And in the more recent times, it is Pearl Harbor. It is the assassination of John Kennedy. The magic bullet can't be the magic bullet. It's against the laws of physics. There were perpetrators behind the scene, enemies foreign and domestic, in all of these events. We go to Oklahoma City, which was a smaller one, but it was still one of these events where they pass off just complete garbage and try to say this is what happened. But when you listen to General Barton speak of explosions and how explosive force works, it was quite a lesson for me. And when I learned it, now I understood that I'd been taken to the cleaners. 9/11 is this one from 20 years ago, which is pretty much a full generation ago now. And now we're in another one. We're in the disease pandemic, where they've applied the screws even harder and in a more ruthless fashion to go after basically every living human being on the planet Earth, because we still haven't learned the game they play with us. And I'm glad that there are determined individuals like you who are prepared to lay it on the line and teach this to other people, in spite of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that are going to be hurled at us by the mental incompetence. But it has to be done. And if we win the way, then it's a nice day for us to just sit around in the backyard and have a brew and talk about old times, because we've achieved the ultimate victory.
George, I want to pick up on your witness reports about seeing a plane, approach the building, because what we're witnessing there with the entry, the effortless entry of what's supposed to be a Boeing 767 into the South Tower is a physical impossibility. It couldn't have happened. A real plane would have crumpled external to the building, bodies, seats, luggage, wings, tail falling to the ground. The engines, which are virtually indestructible, might well have entered the building, but other parts would not. And yet we have photographs of the street and the sidewalk beneath both the North and the South Tower, and there's no such aircraft debris. That means some form of fakery is taking place. Now, three different theories have been advanced to explain these anomalies. One by Rosalie Grable, also known as the Web Fairy, now departed, thought it was computer-generated images, CGI. Ace Baker, who produced a brilliant 9/11 Psy opera, thought that it was using video compositing. Between the time that footage is initially filmed and it's released to the broadcast, there's a 17-second interval during which images could have been introduced. The third, which on its face initially sounds most implausible, is the use of sophisticated holograms. Now, right off the bat, when we have witnesses reporting seeing planes approach the building in real time, and there turned out to be quite a few, hundreds actually, even though the reports are quite different in terms of the plane they claim to have seen, some that it was large, some it was small, some it was military, some it was commercial. On either CGI or video compositing, there would have been no plane visible in real time. So that suggests for a plane to have been visible in real time, it cannot have been CGI or video compositing. Now, there's an absolutely stunning study by Richard D. Hall of the UK called his 3D Flight 175 radar study, where Richard discovered that of those 52 videos, some 27 or 28 were precise enough to plot a location and a time for the approaching plane, which he did. And I'll return after the break.
Yes, indeed. We're coming up for a break. We're doing a much better analysis, I think, than any 9/11 commission, any other sort of commission, which are just deep holes to bury the truth in. I'm George Freund. Joining us, James Fetzer, Scott Bennett, Power Hour Nation. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil, available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada. Joining us today, Professor James Fetzer, Scott Bennett, two noble Americans, two dedicated, hardworking individuals that have just made a quantum difference in how we interpret the lies, how we free ourselves from this mental bondage that we're put in. And we're very blessed to have them here today, but we're also very blessed for all the things they do that we may not be aware of because they just don't give up. They don't stop. That was Joyce Riley saying, just don't stop. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And it's because of people like that, that whatever vestige of freedom you have anywhere is because they're on the front lines, fighting all the time for it. Most of the world just walks around in a trance. It's very difficult for me sometimes to even want to be around a lot of people because they are so dull and mundane that it's just painful. It is just painful to be around them and listen to their conversation or their ability to analyze any sort of facts or data, even at a very low level. And we try. We do our best. The key to win this war is to change the channel. Put on channels that you find Scott, that you find Jim Fetzer on, that Power Hour's on, and similar programs, and then you emancipate yourself from this mental slavery. Carry on, Jim, about our analysis before we started the break. You were on a roll.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating what Richard D. Hall did was to create a series of plots for the apparent plane motion toward the building. Now, he discovered NIST had a similar series of plots, and they claimed that it had come from radar data. But when he checked out the alleged source, the radar data, it did not look right to him. Now, he undertook additional research and discovered there was radar data, but it was for a plane that was 1,200 feet to the right of the image that he had plotted. This led him to the conjecture, which I believe is well-founded, that a plane that was 1,200 feet to the right was projecting the image of the plane approaching the Pentagon. It was traveling faster than a Boeing 767 at that altitude could travel, which accounts for the impossible speed, perhaps, to preserve the integrity of the holographic image. It just disappeared into the building because it wasn't a real image. It was simply a holographic projection We even had the bizarre nose out phenomenon when the networks went fade to black while filming the most historic footage in American history, one would have thought. And in addition, it accounts for how the radar data would only bounce off of a real plane and not the holographic image, which is why the radar data, in fact, only showed the plane that was projecting the image. In the course of my research, I was sent a page from an Australian military manual for an airborne holographic projector showing one plane projecting the image of another. Seems to fit exactly what we have going on here. Moreover, while there are those who believe that holograms can only project on a hard surface, we know military technology is decades ahead of what the public is allowed to learn. And recently, reports were published about the use of air as a temporary screen, air molecules as a temporary screen, which I submit is what happened here. For a censure here, this is really stunning stuff. I've mentioned pilots for 9/11 Truth doing such brilliant work. They were able to track Flight 175 through air-ground communications and discovered it was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had allegedly hit the South Tower. And when I dug into it, I found from Federal Aviation Administration records that that plane, and interestingly, the plane used for Flight 93 in Shanksville, both of those were not formally deregistered until 28 September 2005, raising a question, how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? An immense fraud on the American people.
Oh, indeed, indeed. One of the little sidebars to the flying at a low altitude at high speed is the reason that the plane breaks apart is the number of G's that you're rolling through. And that comes on to the people, too, as well as the pilots. So you have a person who is supposed to be unsophisticated, hardly trained at all, definitely not trained to fly a large jet, flying at something a Top Gun pilot might not be able to handle if he even tried to attempt it, but taking in far more G-forces than you could ever imagine without a flight suit. And usually you start to lose consciousness even for a Top Gun pilot at a threshold point that was probably exceeded. And here we're supposed to have a novice who's not anywhere near as physically fit, doesn't have a pressure suit, and he's going to stay conscious operating this plane at that speed. It's impossible.
George, let me add to that. My father was a Marine Corps fighter pilot in Vietnam. He flew F-8s, A-7s, A-4s, OV-10s, but his favorite plane was the F-8. It was the fastest plane in the American military in the early part of the 60s. It was the plane that flew over and took the photographs of Cuba, the F-8. So my father flew the F-8. My uncle was also an airline pilot, an Air Force pilot. He flew KC-135s, KC-10s. He flew the 747 later in life, the DC-10, all the big planes. Both my father and my uncle have said that kind of a plane cannot undergo the aerodynamic maneuvers that were claimed in the 9/11 story and video. It's like a bus. It's not a sports car. An F-8, an F-16, an F-15, any of these military-grade planes are designed specifically and reinforced to do agility and maneuvers for combat situations, which include rolls and all sorts of other things. The big planes, the passenger planes, the commercial planes are not. They are big aluminum tubes with fiberglass. They are like buses. They cannot do the rolls and the speeds and all of the things that fighter planes do. So the plane being claimed to have done all of these amazing maneuvers is impossible with a pilot, as well as impossible with any claims to remote control systems, because the planes do not have the physical integrity. And the Pentagon is a great example, as Jim has laid out. He and I have done some wonderful shows on AmericanMediaPeriscope.net. People can go there and watch. Jim Fetzer, we did three shows on 9/11. We've also done the Kennedy assassination of the Boston Marathon, and we're picking up next week with additional. I'll keep the subject matter safe so the bad guys shit their pants and worry and get all sweated out with fear. But don't worry, Jim Fetzer and I are coming back on American Media Periscope, and we are continuing these presentations. But the 9/11 one was exceptional because Jim did a great analysis and built upon the Pentagon trajectory, the light poles that were in the grass area, the impossibility of a plane coming down and hitting that building, the photographic evidence that showed no plane hit the Pentagon, the absence of the tail and the wheels and the luggage and the baggage and all that stuff. And I personally drove by the Pentagon. I was doing my doctorate at Catholic University. I drove by it every day, and I looked to my right, and I saw no plane on the Pentagon. I saw a big hole with a blue tarp covering it. So the Pentagon not only was one of the great deceptions, but it was the ultimate deception, because it was the ultimate betrayal, where every military person in that building that looked outside or walked outside and did not see a plane, did not hear a plane, knew that buildings were bombs were blowing up inside the building. Every single military person committed treason and should be executed for treason, because if there's one person in the United States that should be held to the highest standard, it is the military officer and the military enlisted. You are given the faith and trust of the people of this country, and you betrayed them by not reporting and not standing at post and reciting your oath to defend against domestic enemies. And you allowed domestic enemies in the Congress and the media, but especially the Congress and the White House, to perpetrate this great lie. The military have the greatest shame, and that is why when I discovered this much later in life, I instantly resorted to the oath and the character that my parents and my father specifically instilled in me as a Marine Corps military officer and a pilot, that I would never surrender in exchange for money or jobs or influence or even my freedom. The Obama administration threw me in jail because they knew I would not be tempted or lured or bought off. But this is the awakening that every military person has to have, that the Pentagon was the great declaration of war against the American people, and it has destroyed this country for the last 20 years. And this is the time to avenge that, and only a revolution that overthrows this and exposes this and all of the actors, and I don't care if you have to dig Rumsfeld up by the grave and hang him, it needs to happen. Because this country will never be whole, never be respected, and will not live long so long as this great lie and deception remains buried like a stinking corpse underneath our living room floor. Jim?
Oh,
indeed, Scott, you are on the money there.
Exactly right. George, yes.
Well, part of the things that sometimes people have lighthearted, non-sophisticated analysis of the Pentagon, and one that came out shortly thereafter, was someone astutely pointing out that there's no damage to the lawn. So he did a comedy analysis on that, and he said that the military have something called the amazing pentagrass. A giant plane can crash, and not one blade of grass is disturbed or burned or damaged in any way, shape, or form. And that's something to help the less sophisticated understand that they have been had. One image that I remember very much was a video image. And there's a hole in the building, there's a damaged office, there's a desk, and there's a book on top of some sort. I don't know if it was a phone book or a large book of some sort, but the little pages are blowing in the wind. Feeling like, what could possibly have gone through that hole to have explosion and fire and have these couple of few pages blowing in the wind undamaged? There's no way anything passed through that hole that could in any way, shape, or form be a large passenger aircraft. But for some strange reason, people are blind. They love being blind. They love being abused. And as you say, Scott, it is time, because we're involved in another war. This war hasn't stopped. It's just increased in magnitude, exponentially, really. And we're coming to a point where the entire military of most of civilization is going to be injected with a bioweapon to most likely kill them or maim them so they can no longer function, that every representative of any type of civil government is also facing the same sword of Damocles to be destroyed, so that we have no functional government, we have no first responders, we have no doctors, no hospitals, or anything else. And that can only imply one thing, that we are at war, and this is the ultimate treachery, and that our domestic enemies are selling us down the river. This is a very complex topic, so I'm not getting into news, but a piece that hit me yesterday takes a lot to, you know, to shake me a little bit. But one of my researchers found me interviews from farmers in the West saying that they're being paid to destroy their crops. And it's a Faustian bargain, to be sure. They'll cut off your aid funding, all your grants, unless you take 1.5 times more than what your crops are worth to destroy them all. And if even then you refuse, we will spray your land with Agent Orange and destroy your crops and your land. And that really threw me over to say, how can you deny, even for a moment now, that we are not at war and that these people are agents of the enemy we are at war with? Because in any battle, scorched earth is always something that comes along to break up the food chain. And to take away the crops of Americans so that they don't have food to eat puts you on your knees begging for your next bit of food. It also puts you in a dangerous prepper situation that you better be prepared, because there won't be resupply, but even more so, that not only are our military first responders and essential services in a position where they could all be taken out of the picture, we may be put into a situation where we not only face hunger, but starvation. And that's what reward you reap for being silent and protecting the enemy. In a battle, in a war, many, many people have to run into shot and shell and take horrendous wounds and injuries to achieve an objective, to defend the homeland, to defend their colleagues, to defend their ship, their base, wherever they are. And many, many step up to the plate and willingly take those risks and absorb those injuries. And for that, we are all truly grateful and appreciative. But now we're at a war where we can lose the whole country, the whole nation, the whole military, our whole way of life, and all our very lives. And for fear of some sort of punishment, everyone seems to be afraid to take that stand, like Scott did, to say, I'll do it. I'll throw myself on the information grenade and save my country, to save our values, to save what's important, so that we have another day, or hopefully a forever. And that's why we have to appreciate men like Scott, because they're very few and far between. But there may be people listening at this time that know many of these things. You must speak, or forever you may be silent, because the people that you cover for are actually killing you and your family right now if you've taken the bioweapon. What did you gain? And what do we offer? We offer a return to sanity and some sort of justice for all those who have fallen as victims or as soldiers in these struggles and in these battles since time immemorial. And that is what makes America. That is why Old Glory flies. That is why it is safe for you to walk down the street. That is why you have all your inalienable rights. Because people stood up to the plate and they did what they had to do. And now we have to collectively do these same things. And I'm interviewing a lot of doctors lately, and they have a different kind of uniform, and it seems surprising to me that I see people in white lab coats or the hospital blues standing up on the front lines to fight for freedom when many of the soldiers or police or people that work in the intelligence agencies are cowering in fear somewhere. And many of these people are quite senior, to say the least. Dr. Bregan's 85 years old, and he comes to the front lines to fight for our freedom. Think about that, and get up, and do it.
Well, you know, you raise a question about the cutouts in the side of the building and the explosives. It appears, as far as I can discern, that that was all arranged by what was known as a gelatin group. There were hundreds of Israelis, I believe they were Mossad, in the U.S. on visas as art students, and they were given access to the Twin Towers. We have photographs of them there. They were doing performance art external to the Twin Towers. We have photographs of them with boxes of fuse holders that I believe were used to plant incendiaries to cut out the impression of the planes in each the North and the South Tower when no planes actually hit. You do a close-up inspection, and you find there are no remnants of any plane in either of those holes because, of course, no plane actually hit. But in addition, it appears they position jet fuel, and I suspect even napalm, so that once we had the imaginary hit, it was set off to create this massive explosion. And behind the smoke and the flames, they were doing these cutouts of the sides of the building. But it's so complex. You see, it's a Hollywood-style special effect that's taking place here. And we find the government and Hollywood are in very tight alignment, especially since Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, whereas Scott knows the Smith-Mundt Act precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used without, and just in time by the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 to bring a Sandy Hook, followed by the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. Barack Obama made all that legal. It's just outrageous. But what we have on 9/11 was a very clear integration of Hollywood-style special effects with intelligence operatives, where 9/11 was brought to us by the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, the overwhelming majority of whom were, again, dual U.S.-Israeli citizens and the Mossad.
Indeed, indeed. That was one of my little footnotes, was a blog I wrote called Preparing the World Trade Center for Destruction, and I have images of gelatin's work. They were actually in the Metro section of the New York Times August 18th, 2001. They actually showed them doing their dirty work in the newspaper. They removed a window and put their trap contraption outside. And a former owner of the World Trade Center said, that just isn't done. These guys were non-professional people. And she said, any time we had to do window work or remove a window or do anything outside, we had to close the street. We had to get the NYPD to seal off the block, because if something falls from such a great height, the wind can pick it up. It can go very far. And it's all done by specialists in engineering, not a bunch of clowns who pretend to be artists. And that this could be so well photographed and documented in public places. What's even worse is their own drawings. They have paper drawings that they put together with phrases about what's going on that actually show the tower in its compression stage as it's going to come apart. How could anyone know that before it happened? I look at that evidence from gelatin as being good enough to get warrants to search, warrants to go over communications, to start building a case for arrests, because they had all this information. The other thing is they even drew pictures of the falling man, the classic photo from 9/11. In theirs, it's a teddy bear falling from this great height. But they even knew that that was going to happen. So this is, and some of the notes even talk about payment, that there's payment involved in this. This was treason at the highest levels of people working at any type of administration. And the malfeasance involved is just so diabolical. It is beyond belief that a people can participate in destroying and attacking their own people without the slightest bit of moral standing anywhere along, especially when you're put into a position where you're to protect them and not execute them and not take them to some sort of environment like this. Yes.
George, I wanted to add to what you're beginning to address and open up, and that is there are a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists who have been commenting and analyzing how, of course, the cognitive dissonance and the shutdown occurs and the mental crippling that this whole 9/11 event has done to people. This is all calculated in the PSYOP, the psychological preparation, the psychological warfare. This has been for a long time coming from the Project for a New American Century, the Jewish Zionist Feith and Pearl and Dov Zakheim, who was my boss, incidentally, at Booz Allen Hamilton and was the auditor who was part of the Rumsfeld $2.3 trillion. He then later became Booz Allen Hamilton's terrorist financing guy at U.S. Central Command. That was when I was tasked to go down and investigate him and investigate the terrorist financing. That's where I was also tracking Brad Birkenfeld. Ed Snowden was a colleague of mine. He was on that assignment when he was CIA. When they nabbed me, Snowden saw it, got out of the country. So there's a whole realm that people can read in that they'll never see that, incidentally, is what got General Flynn out of jail when I gave it to Sidney Powell and the judge. But we can get into that after the break.
Yes, we will, because we have to get into that, because our posse is duly deputized to find the right and save a nation that was founded on great principles that will not be destroyed or ameliorated.
About probiotics. Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.